T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate the tone that you guys have taken and wish more would follow suit. Keep it up.
You guys give us a chance to take a break, and that's what we all need right now.
Thank you for the distraction from the coronavirus. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Zach Zaidman in for Mully. Summer Olympics looks like they will be put on hold because IOC member Dick Pound told USA Today the games would be postponed until 2021.
Do you start to think now that we may not have sports in 2020, meaning we may not have the resumption of basketball and hockey. We may not see a baseball season. And, you know, we may not see football this year. There's the possibility that that reality exists.
I understand that, and I've heard that suggested, and I don't think you can dismiss that. And I don't think that you can deny that that is a possibility. But I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to get to the point where every time something is canceled or every time something is postponed, that we consider the worst case scenario of every sport and every event and every organization. And I understand why you would say that, but I just don't know if we know enough to say that is the likely scenario or if that's just a possible scenario. But there are a lot of possibilities out there, and that is one of them. But I think it's probably premature to say on March 24th today that there would be no football.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Let's go back to yesterday's 5 at 5 for a second, okay? Yesterday we talked about Artie Burns being a poor name for a cornerback. That doesn't fit. Okay, Dick Pound might be one of the worst names in sports, period. Followed by Dick Trickle and Harry Colon, okay, if we're talking about bad names in sports.
So, Dustin, you're not one that would want to hear Dick Pound say his name a la James Bond with, you know, a musical interlude saying, hi, the name's Pound, Dick Pound. Dick Pound.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Moline Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good morning, Chicago. Good morning, Zach Zaidman, who is in for Mully this week. How are you on this Wednesday morning, March 25th, Zach?
I'm living, and I'm healthy, and that these days is probably the two most important things that you want every day when you wake up in this new reality, David. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Are you positive today? Feeling pretty good? Feeling pretty chipper? You got a little extra sleep last night, from what I understand. You got your early to bed, early to rise, and you also got some groceries. So that is a big, important staple.
Now, David, you know me. I was a germaphobe way before this new reality hit us. So it is frightening, and I'm joking a little bit, but I think anyone who lives in the city and anyone who lives in an apartment building can relate to this, not just here in Chicago, but in any of the big cities that we have around our country, where as soon as you leave the house, you open the door to your apartment and you walk out, you know, you have to deal with elevators. And then you're thinking, all right, please don't stop on any other floor. Please give me the luxury of getting down to the lobby without anyone else getting on the elevator. And then what do you do if that elevator door opens up? And, you know, I kind of make that quick analysis. If the elevator stops between my floor and the lobby, do I get off the elevator and take the stairs at that point? You know, is it a realistic proposition? It's a scary time. And then, you know, you go out to the grocery store. And I'd like to think that at this point, after we've been through this for about a week and a half plus, that people understand the rules of practicing social distancing. You know,
well,
staying
should.
6 feet apart. Yeah, staying 6 feet apart. And, you know, making sure that you don't cough or sneeze or even come close to those things if you can prevent it in front of other people, and not touching what they call the T-zone on your face, your eyes, your nose, your mouth. And yet you go out into the real world and you navigate your shopping cart in the grocery store, and not necessarily everyone follows those rules. And it's kind of scary. You know, you see people just kind of hanging out, not going through their shopping with a sense of urgency. I mean, the goal when you get in there, to me,
to get out of there, yeah,
is restock and get out with passion and purpose. You don't sit there. When you go to any supermarket now, the goal isn't to walk around and see, what may I get today? You better know. Get it done with a sense of urgency. I think you have to treat it that way.
Well, you have to.
It's not fun. Everyone has a little bit of anxiety.
Everybody does, and I think it. You have to wonder if people are just falling back into their habits when they go to the grocery store because they forget, or I think it's hard to forget, but, you know, it's maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know, because I haven't been going to the grocery store, Zach. I mean, I have. This doesn't sound like this is kind of like out of necessity, a very practical decision. When you have a bored 19-year-old college student at home and you have some essential things that you need at the grocery store, you send him to the grocery store and you put him in harm's way, I suppose. But, you tell him all the social distancing things that you just went over, and you hope that he gets the right stuff. The other option out here in suburbia, and I know that people live in the city also have this option, you can have your groceries delivered and be very careful when you take them out of the bags. But you do what you've got to do, and that's what we're going to do again today. Zach is at his place in Chicago. I am at home. Dustin is joining us today on the app as well. Kevin and Ray holding down the fort in the studio, in the control room. And we're going to bring you the best sports talk for the next 4 hours we can. There was a lot going on last night, overnight. You would not necessarily think it so. There are no games, but there's plenty of sports to discuss, Zach. The first big story, though, while we slept, and I know you slept a little bit longer than maybe anyone else. It sounds like you went to bed early. But while we slept around midnight, this is not a sports story, but the White House and the Senate leaders struck a major $2 trillion deal, stimulus package for the economy amid the coronavirus pandemic. That's a big news because it does affect the sporting landscape. It affects everybody in America.
No question about it. I think, you know, this is there's a pandemic going on, but we are struggling just as much from a financial standpoint in this country as we are trying to protect ourselves from the virus. And this is a big deal. I think there are a lot of people that need the help, and I'm glad they finally got something done that at least can provide some immediate relief, because quite frankly, we don't know how long this is going to last. And I think part of the confusion and part of the anxiety is the mixed messaging that we're getting. On one hand, you're being told that you know, this could end very soon. The goal is by Easter to get things going. And then you see what all the medical experts keep saying, and that doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. You see what the sports leagues are doing. So a lot of confusion out there, David.
I think you're trying to say, Zach, that it's nice to see a headline out of Washington that doesn't make you cringe a little bit. So that was good news. Also, we hear some NFL news was that overnight, or I guess late last night, it broke that the NFL is getting some pushback from a general manager subcommittee, And it was reported on ESPN that that subcommittee general managers voted, there's seven of them on the committee, Zach, that encouraged or recommended to Roger Goodell that they move back the draft because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And general managers who are concerned about, you know, you can't give players draft picks physicals. You can't bring them in for visits. Off-season activities have been suspended because the facilities are closed. You can't do the research on these draft picks, on all these prospects that you typically could do. And so they voted 6-1 to approve the recommendation to move the draft back. And Roger Goodell does not sound like he's willing to budge. He plans to stick with the original April 23rd date. It's not going to be in Vegas. It's still going to be held as of now. Everything is fluid. But it doesn't surprise me why the general managers would want the extra time. And I also understand why the NFL wants to go business as usual, because they have proceeded to conduct business as usual. Although I think this might be a little bit different, Zach.
I think the best example I can give of why the GMs want to push things back, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. So you see Tua put out that video the other day where he's working out and dropping back and throwing the football deep. It's a very short video, but it's a video that shows you he's back on his feet. The NFL has not had an opportunity to examine him medically since the combine in late February in Indianapolis. They will not get an opportunity to look at him from a medical standpoint, the teams individually, until after the draft, way after the draft, the way things are set up right now. So you're projecting and hoping, which means he is a huge mystery. Would have been heading into the draft, I think, even if you could do the medicals. But since you can't, you know, that puts a team in a tough spot. But I will say this, and this is, I know I'm going to sound sarcastic, but you look at it, there are certain teams, I don't think it matters to them. You know, there are certain teams, and there's one in this city that has spent a lot of time and research over the years. There are certain teams that I think may benefit by having less information and not having to overthink it.
See, it does sound sarcastic, Zach. But I understand where they're coming from. But I side here with the general managers. It's not just Tua. I think it's everybody.
Of course.
These are investments into these careers, into the futures. There's so much money at stake, and these draft picks are valued to the degree that they are, that now you're expecting, you know, it's like saying you're going to take the SAT, young man, young woman, but you can't study. And it's a big test. There's a lot riding on the results of that test, and yet you can't prepare adequately for that test. And I think that if we'll talk about it later, we'll get into it a lot today, but I just believe that if you're Roger Goodell, you know, let common sense prevail. Just put it back a couple weeks, a month.
Didn't we say the same thing right before the start of the legal tampering period when free agency was about to start last week?
I think it's different. I think it's different, Zach.
How?
I think free agency is different because you know these players are professional football players. You know what they can do on the field because they've shown you on tape what they have done as a professional. You can't make that same projection for a fourth round draft pick out of Alabama or somebody from a mid-major program that you want to take a chance on in the fifth round. I think it's a lot different.
I disagree with you from this standpoint. So these kids have had 3 or 4 years of college experience. All those tapes have been available. You had an opportunity to watch all these kids at the combine. So you cross-check the numbers, good or bad, that you saw at the combine based on what you saw from game tape. And I go back to something that Bruce Arians said a little bit ago. I think he said it at the combine where, you know, you can get yourself in trouble if you just pick a guy based on the combine numbers. It's the tape that they have from their real games in college that mean the most. And that's why, and I was joking earlier about saying you don't want to overthink it. This prevents the overthinking part. The biggest issue that you have is the medicals. I think that's the area where you're concerned most. Yeah. But if you go off the college tape, you have a fairly good idea of what a guy can do. you're not going to learn that much more by with a workout.
We'll get into it. It's 5:15. You're not allowed to disagree with me before 6 o'clock, Zach. So I think it's a really good topic. I think it's a really interesting debate. But it did come out last night. That was a news story that broke on ESPN. Also yesterday, the NFL, Roger Goodell issued a league-wide stay-at-home order Tuesday night, consistent with what states have done. And it's just continuation of the closure of the facilities. The league will reassess the situation on April 8th. MLB, NHL conference calls. There were a lot of news that we'll talk about. The NHL is considering having their buildings open in August for the contingency of if the season continues and extends there. MLB is trying to figure out a start date. And the other thing that caused some chuckles and some hand-wringing, the NCAA got involved and issued a statement after a little kerfuffle involving Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence and his establishing a fundraising GoFundMe page for victims of the coronavirus pandemic. And that was something that created quite a stir on social media yesterday, Zach.
I couldn't believe it when I first saw the story. Thankfully, we were able to flush it out a little bit. But at first glance, you're like, what? Is this really happening? The NCAA is saying that Trevor Lawrence can't help people out in a time where we need to help people out. My goodness.
We'll get to that at the 5 of 5 because I think there's a lot there. And also, at some point, I want to get on. I won't dwell on it. But last night, did you watch any TV? You said you kind of went to bed early, so you didn't watch a ton of TV last night?
I did not because, man, the paranoia that overtook me when I left the apartment was it just wore me down, David. I apologize.
That's fine. No apology necessary. I'm glad we're running out of time here because I don't want to extend the rant, but I did watch TV. My wife and I turned on a show on Fox called The Resident, and it takes place at an Atlanta hospital, and it involved last night the spread of a superbug that affected patients in there. And to watch that, given everything people are going through in this country now, something that affects everybody, I can't believe they aired that, because you know how they had a disclaimer at the beginning of the program saying that any connection to real life is a pure coincidence and this was planned before the news current events unfolded the way that they did. Okay, I get it. But when you're seeing people struggle with the respiratory issues because of a superbug at a hospital, pull the plug on the show. Don't air it if it's not something that you feel comfortable airing. It's not appropriate in the midst of a pandemic to put a show on about a superbug at a hospital. Couldn't believe I was watching that.
I'll give you a positive, though, out of that. It really gives you, and we know it, I don't think we say it enough, it really gives you a tremendous appreciation for all the healthcare workers and providers out there that that are working their tails off during this pandemic. In real life, they're the real heroes of our country.
They are. They are the real heroes of our country. It also is a good reminder that there are other stations and other things to watch besides The Resident on Fox, because I think I might be done with that show. I think I may have fired a show last night, Zach. Anyway, Zach Zaidman is in for Mullet today. We've got a really good show coming up. We've got Brad Biggs at 6:40. Dave Wannstedt, we're going to check in with Wani later this morning. The Coom Dog. Coom is going to join us at 8. And an Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler from Evanston, an Evanston resident who was deprived of the opportunity to continue his career because of the decision yesterday. Robbie Smith, a very charismatic young man, will join us at 8:20. We've got plenty to get to. Zaidman in for Mullet. Mullet and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy your tickets right now at nusports.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
The Panthers officially released Cam Newton. Who will sign first, Newton or Jameis Winston? And if no market develops for Newton, would you try signing him to a one-year deal for as little as possible if you're the Bears? And may the best quarterback win? And should the Bears have waited?
First of all, I think that Jameis Winston will sign first. I think that when you see how he can still rehabilitate his career, I think he can still make something of himself. He's a prolific passer. He just needs to eliminate the mistake. I think in the right system, with the right tutelage, he can be still a difference maker in the league. I thought it was interesting that Bruce Arians, even though Bruce Arians got his guy and decided to move on from Jameis Winston and he got Tom Brady, spoke to a couple teams, according to the Tampa Bay Times, on Winston's behalf because he believes that he has the capability of being an NFL quarterback that is worth keeping and worth signing. So I think he will go before Cam Newton because this is all I need to know about Cam Newton. I understand that he had a special physical conducted earlier this week and he was cleared and he is hungry and he wants to prove himself and that he wants to prove the Panthers wrong. And they made a mistake in letting him go because yesterday he received the official release, news that everybody knew was coming. But if he was ready to go, I think Ron Rivera in Washington would have taken a chance on him. Ron Rivera gave up a draft pick for Kyle Allen, knowing that Cam Newton was going to come pop loose a couple days later this week, and he wouldn't have to give up anything but money to sign Cam Newton. And still, they went for Kyle Allen because he is the safer choice, and Cam Newton has all sorts of injury issues that I think that if his former head coach stays away from him, that tells you everything you need to know about the certainty about what to expect from him. So I don't really think it's worth the Bears looking into this. I don't think they should have waited. I think Nick Foles makes a lot of sense for reasons that we have expressed over the past couple days since they made the trade. And I think that he is a better option and a more certain option than Cam Newton, who I would stay away from even for a one-year prove-it deal.
I agree with you on Winston. David, I think the most interesting part of this offseason in the NFL from a quarterback standpoint is I cannot remember a time where there were more quarterbacks available than spots for them in the NFL. And the spots have kind of been filled around the league. So what we're talking about is potential backup opportunities or teams taking a flyer on some of these guys. When it comes to Winston, I think it's much easier to do that because he is in his mid-20s and he doesn't have to be the guy for you. He can go someplace and become a better football player behind the scenes. With Newton, here's what Ron Rivera knows and the rest of the NFL knows as well, that since 2016, he hasn't looked like the Cam Newton image that we have in our heads from the success that he's had during his NFL career. Two games last season, foot surgery. He's had two surgeries to his shoulder, and because of that, he hasn't looked the same since 2016. He's lost his last eight games as starter, and while he had his own personal physical, I don't know what the results are, because if you look at anything he posts on social media, you need a Rosetta Stone to figure out the hieroglyphics that he types with from a font standpoint. So it's extremely difficult. I do think, though, that there will be a team out there that you don't expect that might take a flyer on Newton. And a good team, a team maybe like San Francisco that he can go to. And I'm trying to think of styles of play that work, you know, where it's not necessarily about the money. It's about the opportunity to learn. They don't need you immediately, but if you are healthy and a starter of note gets banged up, you get an opportunity to play on a good team and help that team immediately. San Francisco comes to mind. Green Bay might come to mind. You know, one of those teams that we're not thinking of could be a potential landing spot for Cam Newton on a deal that is very team-friendly.
How about them Cowboys?
I don't think that's the fit for him. But there's another team that you could look at. You know, with what if the contractual situation between, and right now he's on the franchise tag, but say Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, things get really ugly between those two. You protect yourself at the position. You know, maybe Jameis Winston is a guy that you take there. But, Pittsburgh's another situation. The guy that we often hear compared to when it comes to a player of Winston's stature has been Ben Roethlisberger in terms of build, in terms of style of play, obviously without the interceptions. Maybe that's a place that makes sense for Jameis. And you know what? The more I start thinking about it, maybe Newton is a fit for Dallas.
I mean, this is a real loaded question here, as a lot of these questions tend to be. As far as Cam Newton, Zach, I'm with you. You know, he's not the same player he was 4 or 5 seasons ago when he was the league MVP and he was getting to the Super Bowl. And I think that even though he's only 30, you know, the wear and tear that he's taken, his style of play, even though he's a big, strong guy, similar to a running back and how their careers maybe aren't as long as other position players, I think Cam Newton, his prime was kind of cut short too because of all of the mileage and the tread on his tires and all of the hits that he was taking over the years. And you add that with the shoulder problem, like you said, the foot injury, which kept him out all last season. I expect Cam Newton to end up somewhere on a one-year deal, very incentive-laden, team-friendly, to try to, you know, prove that he can still play at a high caliber. If the Bears are financially able to do something like that, I think they have to explore the option at least. And, you know, you bring in as many guys as possible that you think maybe can help you out at the quarterback position because they were so dismal there last season. As far as Jameis Winston, I mean, this guy is not only an idiot, but he's a turnover machine. He's got character issues dating back to college. I expect him to sign somewhere, but it'll be as a backup. I don't expect him to get a starting job in the NFL for next season.
Well, unfortunately, Kevin, as we know, the NFL doesn't really care much about character issues. It's going to be Jameis Winston who is signed first, because there's going to be a coach that looks at, and a GM that looks at the 33 touchdowns and the 30 interceptions and say, I can work with that. Much like I'm sure Bruce Arians felt, I can do some work on this kid and bring these interceptions down. There's going to be someone out there that's going to be willing to take the chance. He has the talent, but he has to be, you know, fine-tuned. And you would think at this point in his career, he would have gotten those interceptions down, but it's always been an issue for him. In terms of Cam Newton trying to sign him for a one-year deal for as little as possible. Now, look, I understand the arrow is pointing down with his health, but I think if you're the Bears in the situation that you have, I think you do need as many options as possible, because there is nothing that is a sure thing. You look at Nick Foles' season last season, you know, and I know that was injury issues with him as well. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky isn't guaranteeing you anything, And I think you need to have as many options as possible at quarterback if you're the Bears. So I think if you can bring him in on a one-year deal for as little as possible, sure, do it. Should the Bears have waited? No, I don't think so. I guess the Bears reportedly had some talks with Carolina and decided not to go with Cam. But in this situation, you might as well bring him in if he hasn't had any takers to this point.
Well, Ray, first of all, thanks for answering all parts of the question. The Bears' role in this is really interesting. I don't think they should have waited. You took the guy to play quarterback in Nick Foles because he knows the system. And yesterday, well, I guess it's going to be later today, but yesterday the word came out, the NFL facilities are shutting down. So whoever you bring in that doesn't know the system, you have to retrain them. And I know you can retrain people remotely, where a lot of people are working remotely. We're working remotely right now. But that's why that deal for Nick Foles makes all the sense in the world. Now, who do I think will start in the NFL first between these two guys? Cam Newton. But who's more signable? It's definitely Jameis Winston. The problem with Cam, until you know for sure, it seems like Cam Newton is a bad fit in most quarterback rooms, and everybody, especially here in Chicago, we love to hear the quarterback room got better today. Ooh, the quarterback room. I don't think Ron Rivera wants Cam Newton anywhere near his football team in Washington.
That's obvious, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. I don't think that was like, oh, he knew that they were going to eventually cut him. And wouldn't Carolina have loved a fourth round pick for Cam Newton?
So, oh my gosh, Dustin. And wouldn't Cam Newton been a perfect, in theory, a perfect mentor for a guy like Dwayne Haskins?
For sure.
To learn from a former MVP?
For sure. Now, because of Cam's cachet and because he can be Superman and he can be unbelievable at times when he's right, both mentally and physically, the place that seems to make the most sense because they need it would be the Chargers, right? The L.A. Chargers. The Rams are kind of going the other direction. The Chargers with the new logo and Cam as the face of the franchise, that would make a ton of sense to me.
Answer the question!
Mel Kiper's mock draft for ESPN projected 6 offensive tackles going in the first round, but no tight ends and only one safety. If you are Ryan Pace, do you hope that a tight end with a first-round grade falls to you? Do you still consider tight end and safety a need area for the Bears in the draft, and can Pace afford to draft the best player available?
I think, Kevin, that NFL teams draft the best player available at the position of need on the team. That's usually the way it works. I don't think a group that has been together as long as the Bears group has been, a group that could have jobs on the line at the end of this upcoming season, is in a place where they have the luxury to just take whoever they feel is the best player available, regardless of position. So I think when you look at the way a team operates in free agency, what it tells you is that they believe they can't get those positions filled via the draft. So the fact that the Bears went out and signed Jimmy Graham and Robert Quinn, made the trade for Nick Foles, tells you that they don't believe there's anyone in the draft that can help them better at those positions than the free agency moves that they made. So when I look at the second round of the draft, I think safety is one of those things. You have two picks in that first 50, two of them in the second round. I think you have to take advantage of that with the best players at the positions of need, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's getting a skilled position player, and this is a draft that is deep at the receiver position. You need to get somebody opposite Allen Robinson that puts a little fear into a defense. And as we saw last year, you can find those wide receivers in the second round. I don't think the plan, I know Chuck Pagano is high on Deion Bush. I just can't imagine that the plan heading into the season is to have Deion Bush as one of the starting safeties next to Eddie Jackson. And then when you look at the second round picks over the years, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, Adam Shaheen, Cody Whitehair, Eddie Goldman, those are the second round picks over the years under Ryan Pace. So if you correctly identify guys, you can have players that definitely have a major impact on your football team.
I loved seeing that mock draft yesterday. I think it got people kind of juiced up for, well, you know, what's ahead. It's only less than a month now, we think, unless they move the draft back and there's going to be even more mock drafts. But I was surprised to see as many offensive tackles projected in the first round. I was surprised to see, you know, only one tight end and I think only one safety. If that's the case, then I think the Bears, this is the way I think the Bears approach the second round, their two picks that they have. Yes, the best available player, Zach, but it's got to be an offensive player. They've neglected the offense in free agency. If this second tier, you know, if they shop and it comes and goes this period without them adding anybody to their offense, they go into the draft, I think, even more urgency attached to those picks and that side of the football because they have needs on the offensive line. I know Alex Barrs may be a guy that we learn a lot about between now and August, but he's still not a guy that removes the question marks and removes the doubt. Tight end, yes, you have nine tight ends under contract. There's a reason you have nine tight ends under contract because you haven't found one to step forward that you really truly trust to be available when you need him to be available and to be productive. So if Cole Kmet, maybe my favorite player in this draft, falls to the Bears, then they have to really look at that as a need pick, but he might be the best available player, or at least they will tell us that he is. So, yeah, tight end and safety are still need areas, and I think you go into it thinking that, but I'm with you. Deion Bush is probably not going to be the answer if he does start on week one for the Bears at strong safety. It'll be sort of a, you know, he'll take the approach of he can't get you beat, but he's not going to make a lot of plays. Maybe a little bit like Adrian Amos was, but Adrian Amos made a very good living out of being that guy, being more reliable than explosive. But you could get a guy like that later in the rounds. In the second round with those two picks, you've got to think offense and you've got to think best available offensive player.
Hopefully that player is an offensive lineman because that was one of many flaws within the offense last year was the protection of the quarterback. And I don't want to hear about Alex Barrs ever again until he actually does something during an NFL game. I know he started a few games last year at the end of the season, and he's from Notre Dame, so we have to pay attention to him. But, I mean, come on. This guy's an undrafted player for a reason. I'm sick of the Alex Barrs conversation. As far as tight end being a need, I think it's a need for the Bears, absolutely. I don't think that they think it's a need anymore. I think that they think they solved it with signing the ghost of Jimmy Graham. That's going to fix the position and you can get rid of the nine other tight ends they have on the roster. And I think they think they've solved it, which is a problem in and of itself. I think the biggest needs, hopefully the best available players that fall to them in the draft are either offensive line help or in the secondary and not just safety. I still think they need cornerback help as well.
If you're Ryan Pace, yes, you hope a tight end falls to you in the first round. Yes, because that is a huge need. You still consider the tight end and the safety an area of need for the Bears. Absolutely. Safety is a need. Tight end, you brought in Jimmy Graham, as Kevin points out, the ghost of Jimmy Graham. The arrow is pointing down on this guy in terms of where he's at in his career. And then you have Trey Burton and all of the health concerns with him. You need to bring in somebody young, somebody that you hopefully get some production out of at the tight end position. And yes, also, as Kevin pointed out, the offensive line. A huge issue. I mean, if you're looking for an excuse in terms of the Mitchell Trubisky apologists out there, that's the most glaring one. He didn't have any protection there with the offensive line. Can Pace afford to get the best player available, though? Yeah, I agree with you, David. As long as it's an offensive player, that is the phase of football that needs the most help with the Bears.
It's got to be an offensive player in the first two picks of this draft, unless somehow there's some unbelievable cornerback, really, really good. And I don't want to hear about the box safety. I think it's too early to get the box safety with the second pick in the second round that they've got going on. And Kevin, I understand where you're going with the Alex Barrs. You're sick of hearing about it, but maybe this is why the Bears haven't done anything in the offseason, because they believe Alex Barrs can play at the next level. He can at the very least be the swing tackle, and they're comfortable. Maybe there's going to be an open competition up at Hallis Hall in July or August, hopefully July, when they start training camp, and he's actually going to get a shot at starting at one of the tackle positions. I'm with David. Kmet is the guy. I love this guy. And I know Biggs was like, if he wasn't if it was a better year for tight end class and he didn't go to Notre Dame, nobody would be looking at him, or he'd be a third or a fourth rounder.
Correct.
He just screams Bears, Matt Nagy fits in this system. I'd even be willing, if Ryan Pace gave up the other second round pick, move all the way up to the top of the second round and make sure you get that guy. I really like this guy. The guys they brought in, Jimmy Graham, first of all, most people think he's a laughing stock. And number two, it's going to be a very short period of time, so you're going to be looking again. This guy could solve your problem at that position for 8 to 10 years. So do the right thing. Go get Cole Kmet.
He could be a tight end from Kansas State with a junior college transfer from California, and he would still be a prospect that jumped off the tape.
I think so. I totally think so. I think the people that are anti-Cole Kmet are the people that are in the anti-Notre Dame crowd. So Cole is feeling that, because it's not anything anti-Cole Kmet. It's just an anti-Notre Dame thing.
Poor Fighting Irish, always persecuted. No great players ever get drafted out of there, right? They're just such a rough time for them.
That's a great question.
Mavericks.
Don't make me come back to work, Kevin.
I hope you don't. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban told WFAA that hopefully by the middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal and the NBA is playing games. Did Cuban's comments change your thinking about what's ahead for the NBA or the NHL? Do you think the absence of the Summer Olympics will compel NBC to push its league partner, the NHL, to complete its season and crown a Stanley Cup champion?
I think Mark Cuban's an optimistic guy. I think that you have to keep that in mind, and he's probably expressed the best case scenario. You know, he's probably overly optimistic at this point, but I don't want to be overly pessimistic either. I think that it's difficult to avoid projections and predictions that are either, you know, Pollyanna-ish or pessimistic and kind of doomsday scenarios of canceling seasons and moving on, because I think that the unknown is what makes people most afraid. So I think he's probably talking to people about that is his hope, and let's hope that he's right. But I don't know what the safest route is yet, because I don't think anybody does. We're going to hear later today about Major League Baseball talking about concessions that they may want to make from the Players Association. I even read somewhere where players are talking about playing two doubleheaders in a week to try to get it in as many games as possible. I do think an opportunity exists for the NHL. The NHL, with NBC now having programming that they need to fill with the void the Olympics creates, they could go into August. The ice wouldn't be great. It wouldn't matter, because you'd want games, you want live action, you want something to follow, and you want a champion. So it's an opportunity here, but you're going to hear a lot of projections. I think you just have to take each one for what they're worth and consider the source.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that the television companies are going to dictate when sports come back. It's going to be the medical experts, and we just don't know. You know, speaking of the NBA, I'm sure you guys have had an opportunity to see that Instagram video that Karl Anthony Towns, the Minnesota center, put out talking about just the heartbreaking story about how his mom has the coronavirus and she's in a coma. And you watch something like that, and you hear all the experts from the medical fields tell you and the science fields tell you that, you know, the worst of this is yet to come. And, you know, it's going to be weeks, not days, weeks, maybe months. I just don't see how you can wrap your mind against professional sports, specifically the NBA, starting in the middle of May as we sit here today.
Yeah, Zach, I agree with you. I think, you know, Mark Cuban, you can call it optimism, you can call it anything you want, but I think it's a little maybe irresponsible, or just getting ahead of ourselves to try to project, you know, when things are going to be back to normal and when the leagues are going to start back up again and when businesses are going to start back up again. I mean, we just need to listen to, yes, like you said, doctors and people with the World Health Organization and actual professionals, and not Mark Cuban and not the guy from The Apprentice. I think that's just a lot of irresponsibility going on in many different facets. As far as the Olympics being canceled and NBC pushing the NHL to complete its season, and I think I think NBC could probably get better ratings running reruns of like American Ninja Warrior than the Stanley Cup Final would actually generate anyway. So I don't think.
I think that's an ignorant comment. That is a really ignorant comment.
Not for me. No.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban's comments didn't change my thinking about when this thing is, when we're going to see sports again. Look, this is being measured in increments of days at a time. So all we can trust is the word of the medical professionals and nobody else right now. And we're going to take it at, what, like a couple weeks at a time, it looks like, and see where we're at. So there's no, this is the great unknown right now as to where we're going to see, when we're going to see sports. NBC is not going to need to compel the NHL. The NHL, the NBA, these two leagues that have pretty much their regular season in the books and are just looking to get the postseason in, they're going to do anything they can, I believe, to get it in because they, their seasons are complete, basically. So it's NBC is not going to have to compel them.
No, I don't think NBC will have to compel them. I understand NBC's position. They'd rather put the NHL on than running infomercials about knives or dehydrating beef jerky or something like that, which I've seen on Saturdays and Sundays already as we're in this odd time that we're in. I don't want to get political here, but wouldn't it be great if on Easter Sunday we had a triple header of NHL action on NBC like we do on Christmas with the NBA? Get every player tested, get the refs tested, get the two camera guys tested, the two broadcasters tested, and play in an absolutely empty arena and put one or two cameras tops in there and have these guys skate. And do it. The NHL has only had two guys test for coronavirus, and both guys were in Ottawa. Okay, so why not? Why not get this going? You don't absolutely, you do not have fans, you don't have concessions, none of that kind of stuff. You limit it to bare essential people that play the game and are impacting in the game. It'd be great television. We could all use it. I don't need to watch American Ninja Warrior. I've never, it's okay if it's on, I'll watch it, but that's I want NHL, I want NBA, I want MLB, I want NFL, I want NFL draft, I want all of it. Middle of May, apps, hopefully, all, again, sound like a Star Wars movie. All we have right now is hope. And if you don't have hope, then you really don't have anything. So middle of May, great. Easter Sunday, bring it on, NHL, on NBC. Love to watch it all day.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
In one quick crazy afternoon news cycle, a story out of South Carolina reported the NCAA had contacted Clemson's compliance department to inform the school quarterback Trevor Lawrence couldn't have a GoFundMe page to benefit those affected by coronavirus. The NCAA later issued a statement contradicting the story. What do you think really happened? And if you were Lawrence, given the uncertainty of next season, how tempted would you be to sit out altogether and start preparing for the 2021 NFL draft?
All right, let's go through the layers here. Real quick, I think Clemson's compliance department, the job there is to be overly cautious. So you stop things first, ask questions later, because the last thing you want is to have a potential NCAA violation occur and lose the best quarterback in college football to something that could easily have been prevented. So they stop it first, check with the NCAA. NCAA gave its okay, problem resolved. And as for whether or not Lawrence should sit out next season, that's the best team he's likely going to play on for a very, very long time, just like Joe Burrow at LSU last season. So don't give up that opportunity.
You know, Zach, good for you pointing out the context of yesterday's story, because I got a little carried away as well. First, when you saw the reports, it was like, this is as tone deaf of a response from the NCAA as you could imagine. And then we would find out after there was a little bit of a pushback on social media that it was the compliance department that acted in a way that tried to get in front of this. And then the NCAA had to issue the statement. A couple things. Number one, real quick. Yeah, this underscores to me, when you have a compliance department that afraid of violating the rules, that there are too many rules. And when you have something as archaic as this one, where players can't use the likeness, and that was the why they were afraid that he was violating, they can't use their own likeness to benefit, then I think that obviously this is just the latest example of the bureaucracy, and it's way too complicated, and the NCAA has kind of overstepped. As far as skipping next year, I could understand it. It would be a shame for college football, but I think at this point in time, given the uncertainty of everything in our lives, that if Trevor Lawrence were to stay out of Clemson and to prepare for the 2021 draft, I'd get it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, and I would be disappointed by it, but I would understand it.
I'm not going to, you know, put too much flack on Clemson or the school's compliance department. They're just, you know, trying to, like you said, be safe about this and follow the edict that were handed down from the NCAA. And that's the real root issue here is the NCAA and all of the archaic, horrible rules and regulations they have in place, you know, to kind of shut down just a nice gesture from Trevor Lawrence here and his girlfriend that they were trying to, you know, raise some money here. And it's just the NCAA is just its own disastrous thing anyway. If I was Trevor Lawrence, I would have probably sat out or stopped playing football for free after my freshman year, because why risk injury playing for free when you could go play professionally somewhere else, or just sit out? You'll be the number one pick in the draft when you were eligible anyway. So yeah, I would have absolutely already been sitting out if I were Trevor Lawrence, and he should sit out next year. Don't play football for free. You could get your leg or your neck broken on any single play. Just relax. You're going to be the number one pick one day eventually. Bide your time.
Well, this was Clemson definitely jumping the gun here, and that's all there is to it. And I agree with the idea that, you know, this highlights that, you know, the NCAA should relax its rules, particularly when it comes to these athletes trying to, you know, do charitable work. That's just ridiculous. In terms of Trevor Lawrence sitting out, go ahead and play, man. Go ahead and play before you enter the draft.
The compliance department was just doing their job. Now, it's not a job that I cheerlead for, but that's their job. The problem is, if you let Trevor Lawrence do this, who's the next person who's got a really good, heartfelt story that wants to raise money for a charity that's affected his or her parents or grandparents or sisters or cousins or nieces or nephews? It just never would stop. Second of all, under the current circumstances, if you are fortunate enough to have the means to help with cash, you shouldn't need Trevor Lawrence or Trevor Lawrence's girlfriend to get you to reach into your pocket and go to PayPal or however this is done. You should just be doing it. Now Trevor Lawrence is on board. Okay, well, now I've got $25. If Trevor Lawrence wasn't on board, nope, I'm keeping that $25 for myself. That doesn't make any sense to me either. And as far as not playing, no, you got to play. I don't want to sitting out. Well, why would he sit out? That doesn't make any.
Why would he get? Because he would get injured potentially. Why would you play for free?
He's not playing for free, Kevin. He's not. It's 5:57.
He's getting a free education.
I can explain it to you later.
It's a great question.
Let your minds wander during these idle times. It's October, and your favorite Chicago baseball team is down one run in a decisive playoff game in the ninth inning with two outs and runners on second and third. What hitter on the White Sox and the Cubs would you want at the plate at that clutch moment? And conversely, if your team was leading, which pitcher for each team would you want on the mound?
Oh, yeah, baseball. Remember baseball? October baseball, back when we were thinking about what the Sox could need to do to get to the playoffs and if the Cubs could get back. Zach, this is an easy one. I think if you're the Cubs, you want Anthony Rizzo at the plate in the clutch in those situations, two outs, down one, runners on second and third. As far as a pitcher on the mound to kind of prevent it for the Cubs, I don't know who that is. It's certainly not Craig Kimbrell. I would say Rowan Wick, maybe, if I had to pick one right now in the bullpen. Maybe you bring in Yu Darvish for the bullpen. That's for one batter to get that big out. For the White Sox, Yoan Moncada, I think, is probably your most dangerous hitter. That's who I would want there. As far as a pitcher, I don't know that I would go the closer route. I think I might go with Aaron Bummer.
Interesting. You know, the Cubs were 15th with runners in scoring position last season with a .259 average. And I think part of the reason they didn't make the playoffs last season isn't just because we're talking about a playoff game in the ninth inning with two outs. They failed in those situations consistently over the course of the entire season, no matter what inning we were talking about. But the guy who, and Rizzo's the natural pick, it would have been Ben Zobrist back in the day before he called it quits. Javier Baez last year led the Cubs with a .333 batting average with runners in scoring position, 9 home runs, 59 ribbies, and a .693 slugging percentage. And as for the closer, can I pick the Craig Kimbrell that the Cubs thought they were getting, so the Boston version? Because if not, I'm not going Yu Darvish. I'm going with the guys that Joe Maddon used in the World Series, whether it be Kyle Hendricks or John Lester coming out of the pen to relieve what would likely be a Yu Darvish start to begin that crucial game. With the White Sox, I'm going Tim Anderson over Yoan Moncada in terms of with the runners in scoring position. And the White Sox have a closer, so that's not something they have to worry about.
Well, I'm not going to overthink this one too much. I'm just going to go with the best hitter and the best pitcher from each team. That would be, offensively, Yoan Moncada is the best hitter on the White Sox. Chris Bryant is the best hitter on the Cubs. I would select those two guys. I think the Chris Bryant isn't clutch narrative. It's one of the stupidest things in this city, and I know the world in general in this country has become a much dumber place over the last 4 or 5 years, but the Chris Bryant is not clutch narrative is one of the dumber sports-related things I can think of. And pitching-wise, same thing. I'm going to go with the best pitchers, Lucas Giolito, Kyle Hendricks.
Okay, you want your best player at the plate, right? So if you're the Cubs, it's Chris Bryant. But if it's the White Sox, I'm going to go with the batting champ, Timmy Anderson. The Sox, yeah, they have a closer, Colome, and the Cubs, pick a name out of a hat. And as long as it's not Craig Kimbrell, I guess I'm okay with it.
Well, for the Cubs, let's start there because they're the team that actually knows what it's like to be in a crucial situation in October, the people on their roster, the majority of them. For me at the plate, it would be Anthony okay. Rizzo. And it would also be Kyle Hendricks. That's something that I'll agree with everybody. Kyle Hendricks would be my Cubs pitcher in that moment. As far as the Sox, because they have no October experience, I'd have to go with Grandal. He's the one guy that's actually been there, kind of sort of done it, didn't look up and regurgitate them for us. From a pitcher standpoint, Lucas Giolito. He might be the best pitcher in Chicago right now. So it would be Lucas Giolito on the mound.
Might
the
be.
Sox. Might be. Kyle
that is the 5 and 5. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. You can text us at 67011. Zach Zabin is in for Mike Mulligan this week. We will get the conversation started when we come back. Mullane Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.